Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter. We are gathered in your presence to hear your holy word. We ask you now to open our hearts, so that through the preaching of your word we may be brought to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. This Thanksgiving Eve, we follow the order of service as found printed in the service bulletin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and
the conviction of our hearts, we confess together. Almighty God, merciful Father, we confess that we were conceived and born in sin. We further confess that we have, since birth, actively sinned against you by our thoughts, words, and actions. We have done what we should not, and have failed to do what we should. We are sorry for our countless sins, and we humble ourselves before your holy presence. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, and renew us by your Holy Spirit. God the Father has indeed declared you to be not guilty for Jesus' sake. By his command and according to his authority, I announce to you the divine decree that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God, Heavenly Father, through whose kindness we have again received the fruit of the earth in their season, grant us ever to rejoice in your mercy, that neither prosperity nor adversity may drive us from your presence, as we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We respond with our psalm of the day as printed on the service bulletin insert. Scripture reading on this Thanksgiving Eve is found recorded in Paul's first letter to Timothy, the fourth chapter, beginning there with the first verse. This teaches us not only something about Thanksgiving, but what Thanksgiving accomplishes. Listen to how Paul talks about the foods and the things that they thought were unclean are now clean when received with thanksgiving, acknowledging the giver. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God in prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the truth and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Second reading is also found in Paul's first letter to Timothy, this time reading in the second chapter, the first 8 verses. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, peace be multiplied to each of you, and may we recognize those as three of God's greatest gifts, for which we ought at every moment to be thankful. Dear fellow recipients of another year of God's goodness, Facebook has reminded me again of another characteristic of human beings, and that is that we love to go fishing for compliments, for gratitude. We bait the hook with the why we are deserving of the compliment or the gratitude, and then we just dangle it in front of the one from whom we want to receive it, waiting for a bite. I'm glad it seems like you're enjoying supper. It took me all day to prepare it. Insert words of gratitude here. Thank you, honey. This is great. Oh, by the way, honey, I changed the oil in your car and I reset the service engine light. Insert words of gratitude here. Like me. Come on. Oh, thank you, honey. There you go. Mommy, did you like the picture I drew? Why do we do that? Because human beings are hardwired with this need to have people demonstrate that they are appreciated, to express their gratitude. Interesting, I attended a teacher's conference one time, just listened in on one of the sessions, happened to be in the town where it's being held, and universally they agreed on this one thing, that teachers, as with all people, can put up with a tremendous amount of hardship. The work hours are never ending and they never seem to get ahead, and they can put up with it all if they have this one thing, gratitude. If people demonstrate to them that they are appreciated, that they appreciate what they're doing, they can put up with a world of hardship and heartache and frustration and struggle and trials. They have that gratitude. So we're here at Thanksgiving, or on Thanksgiving Eve, to express our gratitude to our God. And the first question we want to ask is why? Because it's not like with God as it is with us, is it? It's not as though God has some deficiency that needs to be filled by us, as though God is in heaven dangling good things in front of us because he wants to hear the compliment. He needs to somehow be lifted up, buoyed up by our expressions of gratitude. It's not it with God at all, is it? With God, Thanksgiving is all about his love for us. How is that possible? Because he wants to continue to bless us. He wants to continue to shower on us what he wants to give us. And because when he does so, he knows that gratitude, thanksgiving, is the right thing to do. Parents get this, probably why we hear often from our parents, and we pick it up as parents. When we tell somebody to do something, our children to do something, and they ask why, and we say, just do it. Someday you'll thank me for it. My parents are still waiting for that day, but in my mind, I thank them. God tells us things in his word for which we ought to be thankful, and we get his, just do it, and someday you'll thank me for it. So this evening, on the basis of our text, we're going to find out, we're going to talk about this thing that we know as Thanksgiving, this thing that we recognize is not supposed to be an event, but a moment-by-moment way of life for God's children, and why it's so important. The text that will guide us is found in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, first 10 verses. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. These are the very words of our God. They are thus, in and of themselves, gifts from our God. In fact, they form the basis of our thanksgiving. These words, written, preserved, delivered to us today, for them we thank our God, and to remind ourselves of the origin of these gifts, so we pray, sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. God did an interesting thing with his people. Very often when he gave them commands, he also gave them a why for the command. Now, as parents, again, we have another thing that we do with our children. We give them a command at a certain age, a certain young age, and they want to know why, and we say, because I said so. That didn't make sense to me, of course, as a kid. It does now. Didn't make sense to my children, and it does now. Won't make sense to their children, but someday. But God does an interesting thing. When he gives a command, he very often gave them the why. And it's not hard to pick up on the why in connection with the commands he gave them in our text, is it? He said, here's the deal. Obey my commandments. And then he gave them the why, that you may go into this land, possess it, live long there, and that I might bless you. See, the people that God was driving out before the children of Israel weren't driven out because of their high morality, because of their ethics, because of their faith, just the opposite. They were driven out because of their immorality, their rank apostasy, their disgusting way of life. We don't even know the full measure of their perversion. And so God brought his people in. He annihilated or drove out the godless, and he moved these people in, and then he gave them his commandments, his word. And he didn't give it to them for himself. He gave it to them for them. Because he knew, and he wanted the children of Israel to know, if you do what the previous occupants of this land do, the same thing that happened to them will happen to you. So when I give you these commandments, do them. Do them first of all because I said so, but do them also in wisdom, knowing why I gave you them. In this land, I mean, we can't hardly imagine. Imagine, try. Wandering 40 years in the wilderness. And then eating day after day after day this manna that God gave and quail. What's for supper tonight, honey? Manna and quail. Same as the last 39 years. And sand and more sand and desert creatures and wilderness. And now they're at the edge of this land. And understand, this isn't like they're moving into a new house. They're moving into a furnished mansion because everything is all set. Not only did the land hold potential, good soil and things that would grow there and minerals in the ground, it was already built up, it was made. The wine presses were there, the fortresses, the houses. There were already trees growing. There were already vineyards planted. And God just moved them in. And you can imagine the contrast made that gift even greater. And they were undoubtedly filled with thanksgiving. But God gave them His commandments so that He could continue to bless them with that. We're getting a sense of, aren't we, that we not just need to be, but want to be thankful for every word of God. Not just the gospel. Of course we're thankful for the gospel, the message of salvation through faith in Christ. We want to be thankful also for His law, recognizing what it is that He gave us in that law. The law is a thing not only in confirmation class, hopefully you remember the curb, mirror, and guide or rule, function or purpose of the law. The curb, it keeps society on the straight and narrow. Imagine a society without laws of any kind. The mirror function of the law, He gave us that law so that we could look at what His perfect holy will is and compare our own reflection in that law. And if it's not, if I don't, looking into that law, look like that, then I recognize I've got a serious problem. But He also gave it to us as that guide, isn't it? That perfect wish list of His. We could debase it. So, in other words, after He brought us to faith, after that Holy Spirit worked faith in our hearts and we became His children, we want to thank Him. And we can turn to this law, His commandments, to know exactly what His will is. What it is that pleases Him. It gives us a direction for our thanksgiving. This, I say, don't do. This is what I want you to do. That's how you can thank me now for the gift of your salvation. So at this point, we're going to take something of a turn in our text because we need to come at this also from a different angle. So I want you to contemplate this question. When I first heard it just recently, I found it disturbing, profoundly so, for a couple of different reasons. The question is this: what if today you only received what you were thankful for yesterday? What if today you received only what you were thankful for yesterday? I found this a most disturbing question for any number of reasons on several different levels. First of all, with the Word of God itself, how many of us were thankful for that Word of God yesterday? How many of us even thought about, or maybe have ever thought about, the blessing that are God's commandments? What those commandments do for our society, what those commandments do for us, the pure framework for our conduct that they supply to us now as Christians. We hardly ever think about it. We think about what the gospel tells us, but I don't remember the last time I just sat down and said, "Thank you, Lord, for your word." That's the first disturbing part of the question, isn't it? What if we only had today what we were thankful for yesterday? Because without that word, nothing else matters. Nothing else means anything. All these little nothings that we gather together during an entire lifetime will mean nothing from Judgment Day on into eternity. Nothing. Imagine. See, this is disturbing, as we said, on a number of different levels. Because it also indicates a profound misconception of thanksgiving in our society, also in us. And that's that thanksgiving is a look to the future in fear. What if I only have today what I was thankful for tomorrow? Well, I want more in the future. So the only way I can make that happen, I guess, is to be thankful today for what I want tomorrow. You see how backwards that is? Do you see how wrong-headed that is in connection with true Christian thanksgiving? True Christian thanksgiving is, for one thing, profoundly confident. In part because it looks at the present and it looks at the past and marvels at what God has done for us, what He's given us. Spiritually, physically, nationally. I mean, you've seen pictures of the land into which the children of Israel were going. And I've seen this country. And I'd rather live here. I don't know anyone in my life who has ever gone hungry. I don't know anyone who's ever had to worry about something like food or clothing. We're so wealthy that even the poorest can be well-dressed, well-fed, too well-fed. Cell phones and all the other luxuries. When we talk about poverty, we really don't have a clue what poverty really looks like in other parts of the world or to our ancestors. True poverty looks awfully skinny. Now think of that same thing in connection with the Word of God. Poverty in connection with the Word of God. See, we don't tend to naturally look at Thanksgiving that way. Historically, you look back and mankind has always looked to the future with apprehension because he couldn't control it. He knew he couldn't control it, and yet he tried to control it. How? By assigning some deity to something that he needed, and then he offers some gift of thanksgiving with the hopes that next year I'll get this much and more. So I'm going to offer this to the sun and this to the moon, whatever that does. I'm going to offer this to the god of fire and the god of water, and I'm going to make an idol here that's in charge of this land, and I'm going to offer stuff even up to my children to that because, well, I'm looking forward here, and I can't control the weather, and I can't control what happens for the most part about anything. So their Thanksgiving was all about manipulation, all about the future. And it was fearful and apprehensive. Christian Thanksgiving is, above all things, supposed to be, again, absolutely confident. The present and the past tell us our God can be trusted. The future holds God's promise that the same one who has done so well by us will continue to do that. If what? Same thing he told the children of Israel. That's why I gave you my word. Abide in my word. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be provided to you. You're the children of Israel. You're standing there looking into this good land. And God is saying to you, I'm giving you these commandments. I'm telling you what is my will in love for you. I'm the one who just brought you out of 400 years of slavery. I'm the one who led you for 40 years and fed you in a place where man can't survive. And I'm bringing you into this land. You remember how the manna stopped on the day they entered the promised land? I'm the one who did all that. Keep my commandments. Keep me as your God. Because I want to keep doing that for you. Our God has placed us in this land. And he said, I love you. I want you with me in heaven. But you have within you this terrible power to turn, to throw me away, to discard me as your God. And there is then only one end for all such. I don't want that for you. Paul told Timothy, God our Savior wants all men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. Thank God then for his word. His word that brought us to faith, his word that keeps us in this faith, his word that guides our footsteps every moment of every single day. Say with Paul finally what he wrote to the Romans in the 11th chapter, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Let this be our pure, confident song of thanksgiving. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all that man could provide, may this peace guard our hearts and our minds in connection with Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Cast me not from thy presence, O Lord.
invite you to turn, if you would please, now to the bulletin insert as we will confess the Christian faith with thanksgiving that our God has given us, expressed this evening on the words as printed in the service bulletin. I believe in the God who gives every good and perfect gift, and offer him now my thanksgiving. I believe in God the Father, who created the universe, who sustains the universe, and who gives us life. I believe in God the Son, Jesus Christ, who has entered our world, taking upon himself our human flesh, whose perfect life, offered on the cross, is the full and complete payment for my sin, who rose from the dead on the third day, who ascended into heaven, and there lives eternally with God the Father, speaking to the Father on my behalf, who will return on the last day to judge the living and the dead. I believe in God, the Holy Spirit, who even today calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth, and preserves me day by day in the Christian faith. I believe in and am most thankful for the forgiveness of sins. I believe that all who die in the Christian faith will, by grace through faith, spend eternity with God, thanksgiving forever in their hearts. Amen. O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us every needful blessing, both for this life and for that which is to come. It is your gracious providence that has preserved and sustained us all our lives to this day. In times of sickness, you sustained us. You mended our hearts when we were crushed with grief. You helped us endure our losses and forget what was unpleasant. In all the emergencies which faced us, you were there to help us. Never once were we forsaken. Gracious God, once again, farms and gardens have produced bountiful harvests, filling granaries and pantries across this land. When we consider the abundance of food produced and consumed in our nation, the advanced medical services available to us, the high standard of living to which we have become accustomed, and the freedom from oppression and tyranny that we enjoy, we must confess that we are truly living in a blessed land. And yet these are neither the sum total of your blessings nor even the most important. Far greater than these are your benefits for our soul. You have loved us with an everlasting love through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Through him, all of our sins have found perfect forgiveness. Through him, our troubled souls find rest and our hearts are filled with joy and peace. You even chose us from eternity to be your own. And through the Holy Spirit called us to faith through that word that you have given us. To this very hour, the Spirit has worked effectively in us, keeping us true to our Savior Jesus. Should we not praise you then with our hearts, souls, and minds for these and countless other blessings? Should we not bring you our best offering? Should we not strive to live decently, uprightly, honestly, to the glory of your name? Grant that we never fail to see you as our merciful God, our Savior, our Sanctifier. May we never fail to acknowledge that all blessings finally flow from you. Help us to overcome the greed and selfishness of our sinful natures so that we might better recognize the needs of others and learn to be generous in sharing with them your many gifts. Forgive our many sins. Do not on their account withhold your love from us. We know that you will not, for you have so promised. We pray these things, though we see ourselves so unworthy, in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our God and Father, the love of Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.